This is Rocky Mountain Voices, powered by PodTech.
Welcome to the Rocky Mountain Voices and Connect weekly podcast.
Hi, this is Tiffany Tetra with Rocky Mountain Voices, and I'm here today with Colin Kelly, executive editor of Connect Magazine, and we're here to record this week's edition of the ConnectCast. I'm actually in New York City today, and Colin is in Utah, so we're doing this a little bit remotely, but we're excited to be able to give you what we think is some great news for the week. So, Colin, I think the first thing that we wanted to mention today was Footnote.com, which we could really consider, I think, as a Web 2.0 genealogy company, which sounds a little bit like an oxymoron, but these guys have done some really cool stuff around building community and bringing a whole bunch of kind of social media aspects into some of the genealogy. But they made a great announcement this week by adding 3 million Revolutionary War pension files into their system. I think it's interesting to give us a little background about what is Footnote.com doing and then why adding these names is just so great for everyone who's out there trying to find people and doing genealogy.
Yeah, the Footnote is based in Linden, Utah, and I've been really impressed by the way the company is set up and their web interface. They've built a wonderful interface that will allow people to go online. Not only do they have a whole bunch of source documents from our nation's history, but they also have a place for each user to upload their own personal documents and photographs and other content and share it with friends and family. Back in January, Footnote.com struck a deal with the National Archives, and they've begun scanning all the National Archives documents. So far, they've scanned about 8 million, and they're adding them at a rate of about 2 million per month, which is a phenomenal rate. Footnote just struck a deal with Family Search, which is also known as the Genealogical Society of Utah, which is owned by the LDS Church here locally, and they're also going to add 3 million Revolutionary War pension files, which obviously has a great genealogical component to it, but is also a nice piece of history for people just to go look at. It's really fun to get on the website at footnote.com, and they, even if you aren't a user, they have a number of free areas where you can just browse around and look and see files, and you can see some of the early documents from the Revolutionary War. You can read the Gettysburg Address firsthand. There's even the entire Project Blue Book, which was an investigation that the government did a number of years ago into the UFO phenomenon. It's kind of fun to mess around. So their position is, here's the nation's history, come add your own. And I think it's a great play, and I think they're going to do very well.
And I guess I said genealogy, but I think that's a good point. It's really about the history of, say, the nation or countries, and then even the individuals that live with inside of that, and then these communities that have been created around that. And, you know, in my mind, I was thinking genealogy, but that has become such a massively large market with so many people around the world who care about finding ancestors. And this just, I think, really plays really well into that, and being able to provide information in the context of those communities that people can leverage and build upon.
It does, and History Bus will really like this site as well, because you get access to the raw data. You can actually see on screen in the original typeface or the original handwriting any type of document, and users can actually annotate the document for other people to see. So it's kind of like Flickr, where you can draw a box and stick your own comments and annotations in there, and then you as a user can search for documents based on any sorts of keywords, comments, and a whole bunch of other tags and metadata that they've included. So there's a great social media component too,
which is great. So the URL for Footnote, I believe, is footnote.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
I just thought we should mention that for those people who are interested, especially as you've got some of those, you know, exactly like you said, for the history buffs, that new content coming online. So with that, I think just jumping over to the next story, which is about Overstock.com. So I think we've talked about them before, but just this week, they announced that they picked up a fairly big big win with a legal decision that was in an appeal court in California. Do you want to give us the details behind that?
Sure. If you've been following Overstock.com and its saga over the last few years, there's actually two battles going on. There's Patrick Byrne, who's the CEO of Overstock.com. He has a personal vendetta and war out against the illegal activity that's called naked short selling. And then there's also a few lawsuits that Overstock.com has with somewhat related but not technically related to naked short selling. And probably the biggest lawsuit to date is a lawsuit that Overstock.com filed against Gradient Analytics and Rocker Partners back in August of 2005. What they're claiming is that Rocker Partners, who was short on Overstock.com stock, which is perfectly legal to short a stock, but Rocker paid Gradient to write a negative report in the hopes that the share price would be driven down even further so Rocker would make money on shorting the stock. And so that's what the suit alleges. There's been volumes and volumes written on this lawsuit and on Rocker and Gradient, and it's involved numerous press members and business journalists throughout the country. If you remember, Gradient Research is formerly known as Camelback Research, and they became famous when they predicted the downturn in Krispy Kreme stock months and months before it actually happened. And Gradient builds these highly complex computer models where they take in hundreds of factors, and then their algorithms spit out these reports on what they feel is an accurate representation of how healthy a certain business is. And so Gradient released a negative report on Overstock, and Overstock claims to have inside information that the report was actually paid for and directed by Rocker Partners. So anyway, there's the background. So the ruling that came down this week is good news for Overstock.com. Gradient and Rocker have filed a petition to have the case dismissed a number of times. So far, it's been upheld by lower court, and now it's been upheld by a higher court. So the case will proceed to trial. But the really interesting thing here is that now the legal team from Overstock.com has the ability to start poking around and actually do interviews and start to actually gather data, and it's a phase that they haven't been able to do yet. It's called the discovery phase, where the lawyers can go in and start digging up information. So if they find anything that can actually corroborate some of their witness testimony, then it could make for an interesting trial.
Well, that's very interesting. And actually, while we were talking about Overstock, they were one of the sponsors of one of the events here about a week ago, where Seth Godin came and spoke in Utah. And as you and I were talking previously, we just thought that would be interesting to just kind of mention, you know, what he talked about. He obviously is promoting his new book, The Dip, and he came and spent a couple of hours with our community here in Utah, which was, you know, it's obviously great to have strong marketing and social media influencers actually come to the state and to speak and to have conversations with us. And, you know, we both stepped into that event, but we thought it would be just interesting to kind of summarize that a little bit and give any insights that we gained from that.
Yeah, I was impressed by Seth's presentation. He's a great speaker, great author. Highly recommend the book, The Dip, as well as Seth's other books. Seth is one of those people that just gets you to think in a totally different way. And I don't know how or where he gets his ideas, because he'll pull ideas out of left field. He's the ultimate out-of-the-box thinker, if you ask me. And I thoroughly enjoyed hearing him speak, and great kudos to go out to Phil Burns and all the other people that helped orchestrate the event and get Seth to come into town. What did you think about it, Sid?
Yeah, I thought it was a great event. Obviously, you know, Connect was also a sponsor there. And, you know, I'm just such a huge fan of having activities in the community that help expose us to those new ways of thinking, to new trends that are going on. And Seth clearly made a great reputation and done a great job of you know, filling our you know, heads and creating books that make us think in those different ways, and to be able to pull a really strong community of people together that can listen and learn and then create conversations post that, I think is so valuable for our community. And I think that this was the perfect opportunity to get Seth here and to have that opportunity in our own community and to learn from other people, create relationships that extend past the conference. And so, you know, he did a great job. He you know, he came in for just a few hours, but it was kind of funny when we were watching him come in. He's like, okay, good, I have a few minutes to think while they're still doing introductions, because his flight was delayed. But he did a great job. You know, he came up there, and I love that he does the Q&A session, and that, you know, he's willing to do the book signing and just kind of talk to people versus just present the information. I thought that that's one of the most important things for, you know, his involvement as he comes to participate with us.
Yeah, my favorite part, anytime I hear a speaker, is the Q&A session. And we've learned here at Connect with all the events that we've done that people really appreciate having the chance to ask questions. And some awesome questions were asked by the audience. I think Seth was actually impressed by some of the questions, and it's pretty hard to impress Seth. So it was great to have him up here. Stay tuned, and we, in the next few weeks, we may have another announcement of an even probably more well-known speaker that Connect's going to help bring into town sometime this summer or this fall.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah, you know, it's kind of been a fun year because I think we're starting to see that trend. You know, being one of those communities that's not sitting straight in Silicon Valley, but we're always looking to bring those people out. So earlier this year, Robert Scoville came, and now we've had Seth Godin, and then just to line up others, I think is just awesome for our community, for the education, and for the influence it has on our people. So kudos to you guys also for having the foresight to participate in that. I think it's a great thing. So with that, I think that ends this edition of the Connect Cast, and we will be back next week with a wrap-up of the local daily news that has been happening, and have a great day. Thanks.
This has been a Rocky Mountain Voices podcast. Visit us on the internet at www.rockymountainvoices.com.